It angered me that
is there a lot of cheap housing in Leeds? Would that ruined it for him?
But it just was. I assume maybe she was squatting or something. But it was like, and it just depressed me because it was like, not only is he sort of homeless, but he's got a homeless girlfriend. But the homeless people are finding love.
Yeah.
Do you mean it's so? I mean, that's really depressing, Carl, isn't it? Unless they both became smackers together. Or
no, you? Carl's found love on the street before, haven't you?
How's it going with your bird, Carl? Are you married?
No.
How long have you been out with her? Out with her?
7 years.
Because I mean, you're quite a simple man.
Yeah,
you're sort of a simple
in a nice way. I mean, yeah, you're like Helen sense. From Big Brother. Yes, you're sort of nice enough, but
I look normal.
Well, yeah, you sort of do, but you could be one of those that just suddenly go mental with a pen.
Yeah,
do you know
just
what I mean?
Stab people through the eyes.
Yeah. You sort of look normal, but I wouldn't really want to wind you up to a point of frenzy.
How did you meet your girlfriend?
Through work.
What, through her work? You found out and said
we worked at the same place.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. You're quite an enigma, aren't you? Could you give us more on that?
At work, you met her at work. What, she came in selling sandwiches? She was going through the bins outside. What do you mean you met her at work?
Why are you having an attack on me? You're the one who's sad and lonely.
He's done you again.
Yeah, but what I thought was interesting was I just scratched at him and he just went mental.
Yeah, no.
It's like a bear caught in a trap.
It's funny, isn't it? You'll never learn. Carl.
No, I was just interested to find out what the story was, because it might be a really romantic story.
Well, it's not.
All right, jeez. I love the fact he doesn't want to talk about his love affair.
I was thinking about you in the week and like... Does it worry you? I mean, you sort of joke about it now and we're talking about it in the office, you know, like, oh, is Steve really touchy about the way he looks? And
what's this? Where's that come from?
He's done it again. He's done you again.
I was walking home the other night and I was thinking about it. And do you worry that when you're old, you will be on your own?
You did start it though, didn't you?
Well, Carl, I'm glad you brought this up. because, I mean, for me... You know, a lightweight, frothy entertainment show on XFM on a Saturday afternoon is exactly the place where I want to discuss the desperate, lonely future that's inevitably coming my way.
Oh, God. I'll tell you what will cheer you up and forget all that. A bit of Embrace.
Oh, one of the most hated bands. What are these fellas doing?
There's a couple
It's quite noisy. It's just distracting.
Yeah, there's a couple of fellas behind us taking pictures. I don't know why it takes two of them. Mm. I think one of them just got, a couple of hours out of the office. Yeah. They're from the, what are you from, X-Mag?
X-Ray.
What's X-Ray?
It's the XFM magazine, Steve.
The XFM what? Magazine?
Magazine.
Where's that going?
Is this available in shops?
Is it just a giveaway thing?
It's kind of giveaway, bit of information on bands.
Right.
Gigs are coming
out. How is it available?
Who gets it?
It's in top magazines.
You're really selling it, Carl. You're obviously a fan of the magazine.
It's all right.
Yeah.
I don't want to make it... This seems now like you've said, let's pretend we don't know what it is. You sell it on air, make it sound like...
I don't know what it is.
Well, I'll show you later.
Okay, cool.
And if people want a copy of it, they can go to the website and subscribe and you get it for free.
That's all right.
Yeah. Cool.
And you're going to be in it.
And we're going to be in it.
Centre pages.
I don't look my best. I don't dress for radio.
Mm.
And, you know...
Well, it's okay, because I'm photogenic, so I'll make up for whatever you
want. I'll push you forward.
White Stripes and their version of Jolene. What did you make of it, really?
I loved it. Good. I want to ask Carl a question, though, because Carl, sometimes in all of this newfangled world that we live in, what do you think of the scenario? What do you think is going on there? Because it's a bloke singing to a woman, begging her not to take his man. What do you think is going on there?
Say again.
Well, that's a bloke there, singing.
Yeah, to his wife, Jolene.
Right. Were you listening to the lyrics or?
You see, I got mixed up anyway. I thought it was about that one about the person who chucks himself off a bridge. So I was thinking more about that than listening to that one.
Right, listen.
Well, go on it.
Right. Jolene, I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Your flaming locks of auburn hair, even though you can, don't. He's all I've got. You're a beautiful woman. Don't take my man because I can't compete with you, right?
Yeah.
What do you think's going on there, though? Because, you know, it's Dolly Parton singing it. We know what's going on. They're fighting over the same man, aren't we?
Yeah.
What do you think's going on when a bloke singing it to Jolene? What do you think of the scenario there?
That's one of them names, isn't it? That could be a bloke's name. It's like Leslie.
Oh, Christ. Okay, sorry. It was a...
I wish you'd not asked him that question. It's so exhausting.
I love him.
Do ants sleep, Carl? Which bird's got a cock? Swan. Okay, nice one. Listen, I want to play that song for various people who've emailed and phoned in saying they want requests. We don't really play requests on the show. We'd like to mention them anyway. Matt Barr, Magic Thighs. That's not Matt Barr's Magic Thighs. No. That's Matt Barr and Magic Thighs. Yeah. Kieran in Dublin, Stuart in Hackney, Lisa and Alison in Crouch End, and Glenn in Crystal Palace, who was phoning up with a nice message earlier. All of you, thanks for listening and thanks for enjoying it. Sorry I didn't play your requests, but tune in next time. It'll be fun. Anyway, I just thought I wanted to say, really.
Here's Tragic.
What's tragic?
What did you want me to say about that song?
Just your opinion. Your own opinion was fine. In fact, your own opinion is better than anything I could really hope for. Without doubt. Whenever I ask you a question...
You constantly surprise us.
Yeah. It's wonderful. So only ever... Carry on telling the truth. Carry on saying exactly what's on your mind. And I think this could become a great...
You're like a man who was frozen in Victorian era and has been reawoken and he's kind of discovering the world. Some things make sense, other things don't. It's beautiful. It's
as really opposed nice. To one that was made in a castle in Victorian times like Steve.
Oh, that's just...
Oh, I've joined in with Carl.
I can't believe you're on my side.
Yeah, no, it was irresistible though, wasn't it? I'm really sorry. Yeah,
it was Carl, it was you that worked out the maths and worked out I was 28 because they just worked out I'm 27.
You are 27.
No way.
Yeah, I asked you, didn't I? And
yeah,
I said...
No, but what I sort of questioned was, I said, well, if you're 27 today, that means last week you were 26.
Well done, yeah. That's irrelevant. So therefore you assumed that I must be 28 then?
Yeah.
Whereas I assumed you were using, you know, your knowledge of maths,
no,
such as it is.
No, I wouldn't do that.
No, sure.
Wow. I actually got lost in that conversation because I genuinely didn't know what he meant would mean last week you were 26. I don't know what that meant.
I don't know what it meant.
Wow. Well, it is Steve's birthday.
But he would have been 26 last week.
Sometimes you genuinely frighten me because it's those staring eyes. There's nothing behind him. It's this little bald head. Looks like Davros looking at me. Genuine, just genuine fear on his face when he enters into a conversation with another human being.
But what bit don't you understand? If he's 27 today, he would have been 26 last week and he doesn't look 26. He didn't look 26 last week. He looks older than 28 today.
You've started on his birthday. You're still having a go at him.
Carl, I don't look like the kind of hot stud that I actually am. But face facts, that's the truth, mate.
Yeah, live with it.
Get with
live
the programme, jeez.
Well, let's have a little bit of cake.
Okay, oh, that's appropriate. See the birthday. But you mean the band, don't you? Not the cake. You haven't actually bought cake, have you? Got anything at all? Anyway, the winners, Carl, I think you took some answers.
Tim and Neil.
Well done, Tim and Neil. Are they going together or are they...
No,
two separate.
Lucky people.
Yeah. I don't think your heart's in it anymore either, Carl.
I was all right today, but Steve's really dragged me down.
Well, let's...
Wait a minute, I just need to know why.
No, do you know, like, people are being miserable around you?
Yep.
I was full of beans when I came in.
Yeah, but you got to remember last week, you were really miserable and that really wound me up.
Yeah, because he was having to do stuff. Because he'd been let down and they were worried about the next show.
You were in a terrible mood.
Yeah.
Look at me like you were. Songs, I wasn't like going off and lying on the settee looking ill, talking in that voice.
Oh, he's done you again.
I said, just now, being quite friendly. Yeah,
Carl,
Steve.
Carl, have you ever tried to get into the Monarch for free? Because I'll be honest, mate, it's not going to happen for you. Come out with me, mate. You got a quid off. All right? When you can get in places in Camden for free.
Yeah, I'm all right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's done you. Right, now it's time for Song for the Lovers. Now, this is one of my favourite songs of all time. You'll know this song better done by... That was nearly a sentence. Oh, come on, that was nearly a sentence. What's his name? Glen Campbell. It's Galveston.
Oh, yeah.
This is the man who wrote it. This is the original. This is Jimmy Webb.
Oh, yeah.
With Galveston. From what I can work out, I think it's about a bloke who goes off to the Vietnam War and he's missing his bird. And I've brought it down, haven't I? I've brought it down a tone by saying bird.
It's a beautiful song.
It was irony.
Just play it.
Galveston. It's beautiful.
Yeah. This is the reason, because actors are often very quite handsome people, but yet they're always quite obnoxious.
Yeah, we are.
No, I mean, they're normally quite obnoxious, Rick. Again, you know, you're a good example of that. And yet, I think it must be the small man complex. That's what makes them so obnoxious and so kind of desperate for attention. Didn't realise it before.
Steady on.
Because, of course, I tower above everyone.
You do, don't you?
I'm, for people who don't know, who are listening, I'm 6'7" tall. That's high.
Yeah.
And
for people who've never seen him, he doesn't hold it well. It's not like he's a sort of handsome athlete, is it, Carl? He's a bit of a what do you call him?
Carl, don't answer.
No.
Don't get drawn into that.
You know the game he's playing.
No. Do you know yesterday when you were in the office?
Yeah.
You did a little move, and it reminded me of Blakey.
Oh, I hate you, Gervais. Oh, I hate you, Pilkington.
That's his stance.
Yeah, but even he was, he held it a little bit better, didn't he? Because he was a man, you know. Yeah, had a big coat and everything, and a peak cap. But, yeah.
I can't believe you. Like, I've not suffered enough from being freakishly tall. Now, two of my best buddies, live on radio, are just
It's not just the height, though, is it? It's the posture and the face and everything.
But it's got your places, hasn't it?
No. What do you mean it's got your places?
I think people give you a bit more of a chance in your career and stuff, because it's like...
Well, yeah, stacking shelves. Because I can reach to a high level.
Muse, Plug-In Baby on XFM 104.9.
Rick,
Gervais, go on.
Well, yeah, but I know you guys are laughing about the height thing, and for those that have only just tuned in, I am 6'7" tall, which is tall, and that's big, and I pride myself on it in a way. You know, I've worked hard, I've not smoked, I ate well, you know.
Yeah.
It's an accomplishment, but obviously I didn't have much involvement in it, I just am. And it's a curse, because mainly the problem is that you can't get stuff, you can't get clothes, you can't get shoes, you know.
Yeah, it's size 14 feet.
Yeah, that's, but it is genuine, and I don't know, I mean, it costs a lot to buy a pair of size 14 shoes, and it, so I don't, I mean, if you're poor, if you were genuinely poor, I don't know how you'd afford to be tall, because the clothing costs more, everything costs more.
I've seen this in comics, that you'd actually go to school in a barrel.
Wearing a barrel,
with just braces, it'd just be a barrel, and you'd have sort of flip-flops, and you'd take a mule with you. They all had a mule, didn't they, the
but
poor people?
But people always think, like, like you'll be in a pub or something, and people, I mean, people just think they can talk to you about it. They just think, hey, you're lanky, it's just like, because it's like they
But that really annoys you, doesn't it?
Well, it annoys me because it's like they think I should be proud of it. Like,
well, exactly, but they don't think that this is not a disadvantage, this is not a disability, is it? You're taller than most people. It might
it
get
a disability.
No, no, if you were 8'3", it'd be slightly disabilitating, you would, you know, but...
Disabilitating?
What?
Disabilitating?
Yeah.
No, you're a medical man, aren't you? But, no, the point is, it's a disabilitating because you go on public transport. Like, if you're on a coach... the only place I can sit on a coach is that seat...
On the driver's lap.
Either on the driver's lap or that seat at the very end.
Yeah.
You know, where, which is kind of, which sits into the aisle.
Yeah.
That's the only place I can
Why
sit.
Why don't you stand up...
some sort of
stand
at the back, waving at drivers.
You could drive it from the back.
Here he comes, watch it.
Were you a tall baby?
Oh, it's like, Mr. and Mrs. Merchant, you've given birth to a basketball player. Look at his dribble already. Were you a tall baby? Babies aren't tall.
Oh, all right. At what point did you suddenly, like, Jesus, nothing fits me?
Well, it didn't happen overnight, Carl.
Let's do a little graph. How tall were you at 5?
Oh, I don't know. 3 foot.
3 foot. How tall were you at 12?
6 foot.
What are you really?
I don't know, do I? How do I remember? I don't remember this.
Well, when did teachers start calling you Freak Boy and Lanky?
They didn't.
Didn't they?
So much. It was, no.
You went to a funny school. I went bowling with him once. So I'd never been bowling before, and he'd been once before, and he went, let's go to this bowl. Went to a bowling alley, right? And you have to wear these special shoes. Now, they're sort of like pointed things anyway, and they're multicoloured, sort of red and green. They look pretty weird. And the woman said to me, oh, what size? I said, oh, 8. She went, yeah. So what size are you? 14. She went, 14. He went, you probably haven't got them. He goes, she goes, yeah, I think we have got one pair. And she put them on the table, and it was like Krusty the Clown. And I just started laughing. They looked so long, and he had to run round this bowling alley in these freaky clown
shoes. But they don't look freaky clown like when I'm wearing them, because the rest of me is in proportion to it.
It looked like a little wall bracket.
One of the worst things that happened to me was when I was like, I don't know, when I was about 16 or something, we went to,
There's a fire alarm going off.
There's a fire alarm going off.
And the fire light's going off. Yeah. Should we not just play a record and go and check that out?
Wrap it up if you want.
No, not wrap it up. Play a record, I'm gonna go.
No, the fire, it's gone off, Rick, it's gone off.
Oh! What, we might have burned down!
Yeah, I think we'd know about it. The flames licking around our ankles would be a clue.
God.
I'm gonna go and investigate.
You shouldn't ignore a fire alarm, did you?
Blimey. We're entertaining the nation.
Oh, look at him, he's scared of fire. What do you mean?
Lars, and there she goes. What a great start to a show. We've had 20 minutes of some of the best banter, chatter and music and anecdote anywhere on the dial.
You're damn right. High five.
Yeah.
Sweet, man, sweet.
Oh, what are we talking about? Now,
I love that track. It's lovely. They've got a bit of the Liverpool gene pool, haven't they? That sort of Doddy. You know what I mean? I like the Scouse sort of look, you know, the Cilla Black and the Stan Boardman.
Yeah, it's sort particularly of, it's sort unique of,
it's,
to Liverpool.
It's
isn't
sort
it?
Of happy in teeth and ears. And,
it's
you know
happy
I mean?
In teeth and ears.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant description.
Yeah.
Happy in teeth and ears.
Yeah, that's just three of my friends. Yeah, yeah. Now, we've got a great track lined up, haven't we, Carl, that I've brought in? So I'm going to go off. Now, I'm not ashamed. As you know, me and Steve aren't worried about being part of a trend or you know, being trendy or jumping on about it. Steve particularly doesn't worry about, like, looking good or, well, you know. No, I'm saying, as a compliment, you know, he doesn't worry about walking along like that or, you know.
Well, this is, like a, I'm looking good.
No.
Good
but I'm saying
good.
You don't mind the insults, freak boy or goggle eye or.
Nah, swore off a duck's back, mate.
Do you know what I mean? Or a new phrase that's been coined because of Steve's face, water off a frog's back.
Who's saying that?
Just a lot of you. What? A lot of friends and that. But I mean.
Well, my friends?
Yeah. A lot of the people.
Can you name names or?
I can't really.
Make promises, you can't.
I can't.
You want to
really,
mess anyone up?
I think it's the cagoule.
Looks good.
It does look
it's
good.
It's waterproof, Rick, and it's also stylish. I wear nothing underneath. So it's tight to the skin. It gets sticky in bad weather. Yeah.
Is that why you sort of
it's
rustle?
Sexy. But what's all the. Is there abuse? What's the.
No, they just say.
Because I'm a pretty trendy guy, but I, as you say, I cut my own trend. You know, I make my own style.
Oh,
so just go back to insults briefly.
Go on.
You know, you're saying.
See, that's...
Goofy, that's
no,
not
no,
fair.
No, because that's what he said. It's in my head.
What do you mean he said
no,
that? When did he say that?
No, I mean...
When did you call me goofy?
No, he didn't. He said about
Baldy.
Once in the head.
Hey,
no,
when it's, come
mate,
on.
Come off it. Don't
what?
Start.
Who's calling me goofy?
No.
I'm not even goofy. Goggle-eyed's fair enough. No,
yeah, but you can sort your look out. I can't.
What do you mean I can... How can I sort my look out? I'm not even goofy. You've that's
got,
not fair.
You've got the proper features.
What?
Just needs sorting out a bit. I can't help it if my hair's not good.
I noticed the other day when Carl was sitting on your knee having his picture taken. Yeah. It's a long story, right? Yeah. He's got a completely spherical head. It's slightly too small. I'm not being funny because, I mean, you know, I'm not perfect. But he's got a completely spherical little head. He looks a little bit like a baby Hamburglar. You know Hamburglar off McDonald's?
Sure.
He looks like a little baby Hamburglar. And it's sort of quite put upon. It's
Suzanne thinks I look like that thing in that Dulux advert. Do you know when the woman pulls the head off that?
A little plasticine morph type.
And then they make a new ad for it. And it's like a little head.
Really?
And that's your girlfriend saying it.
I know. Anyway, listen, let's get back to business here. This is a great track. It's America by Simon and Garfunkel. This is where I started saying we don't care about being trendy and all that. That was it.
Because I just want to mention to people that they should be very excited. Because it's going to be Carl's special night tomorrow. You excited, Carl?
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is, yeah. Me and Steve, because we were nominated, we get a guest.
For the BAFTA Awards.
And it's it doesn't say guest, it actually says, partner. So I'm taking my partner. And Steve's taking Carl.
Yeah.
But what Carl doesn't realise is you will have to pretend you're his partner, otherwise you wouldn't be
able to. We'll have to hold hands when you've got the red carpet.
Is this really your partner? It's not just a guest.
That's how it is. Neither we go in like that or we can't get in.
You just have to be with him when you go up there. I mean,
we should hold hands. But I think what we should do is just to make sure that there's nothing at all that, like, it's going to go wrong, we should just do a little kiss.
Just like, or be seen sort of like cheek to cheek, just to show them that, you know, you're not, he's
like
not
Elton
just
John and David
he's not
Finish.
Just getting his mates in for a free meal. You are actually partners.
No, I'm not for that.
Why not?
Well,
because we know we're not actually gay.
No, but yeah, but
so it's not a problem.
You've come out of it looking quite good because you've got a good looking fella. But I'm meant to look like, you know, I mean, I'm not gay, but if I was, I don't think I'd go for your
side. Oh, he's done you, Steve. It's turned on you again.
I cannot believe.
We were trying to get him.
Wait a minute. I have got the cream of London's Totty phoning me up trying to get an invite to the BAFTAs, right? We have very graciously asked you if you would like to come along.
Well, that worries me even more, that you've got women calling you up.
Carl,
I can't choose between them. If I let one of them down, they're gonna destroy them. They'll be ruined. Their lives will be ruined. It's better for me to take you and not, you know, ruin the lives of any of those poor women.
When he told them he was taking you, it was like a scene from Graceland. There was just like
there women, was weeping.
They were crying. Like
it was horrible.
Hundreds of them, and
really?
He just went. And
I got upset.
He just had to say, "Look, just chill out, bitches," didn't you?
I did. I just said, "You know, you're all my hoes, but I can't choose between you."
So I'm taking Carl.
So I'm taking Carl.
You know, he could get you a discount Fox.
No, I had a letter from the people that there's a
no,
organization.
Good.
No, listen, Carl. There's an organization that sponsors the BAFTA Awards in terms of clothes and fashion. They sent me a letter. They said your partner. They've not specified the sex. They've said your partner can come along and choose an outfit. Now I suspect. by the look of it, it is a woman's outfitters. I'm thinking we could get you a lovely trouser suit.
Well, you have
it may look feminine, right? But I think people will be fooled.
It'd just, be a little bit roomy in the hip and probably narrow on the shoulders, but you're a bit skinny. Why didn't you take it? Because it's a lot of an insult.
And maybe just some pearls as well. Be lovely.
Wouldn't you?
I haven't got anything sorted to wear yet.
See, you're slagging me off. You're likely to be end up going in a tracksuit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going out today. I've never bought a suit since I was like 11, right? I went to my brother's wedding. That's the last time I wore a suit.
Full of
no, but it's like how when I went to the BAFTAs with you and I wasn't really enjoying it, you were like,
I can't. Is that
what?
No, you didn't tell us this. You're ungrateful.
There are so many people.
You're like a little charity case. You're like, oh, God.
I had chicks queuing up around the block.
You'd usually have to, someone like you would have to write to Jim or Fix It or Esther Ranson to get to meet us sort of people. And now it's on your doorstep.
I'm amazed that you didn't enjoy it. Why didn't you enjoy it? You got to walk down the red carpet. You went in. There was George Best, one of your footballing heroes, was there. A load of other big names. You sat there, you had prime position. You came backstage with a load of other big names. Hey, you had a lovely bit of grub.
You were filming this thing for the DVD we're making. That's you, a cameraman on our DVD. And yet you think, oh, and now you look grumpy because you had a couple of pints and you've, oh, I can't believe
it. So tell us why you didn't enjoy it, because the ceremony, what didn't you enjoy about that? It was interminable, wasn't it?
Far too long.
Wasn't it awful?
Three
so boring.
Hours.
I'm sorry. I thought you were going to say something.
Really?
Sorry.
3 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose for you two, at least, you know, you were going to get something.
Sure.
Yeah.
But with me, it's like, I mean, I've never graduated or anything, so...
Have you not?
I'm trying to think of a situation. Basically, I sat there for 3 hours knowing that I'm not going to get anything out of the night.
Yeah.
Right? Now... No,
did you? Sorry, when we invited you and you said yes, did you think you were up for an award?
No. I thought we were going to be sat round tables having a nice bit of food, whilst people are going up there winning awards. Yeah. But 3 hours of the same thing over and over again. I mean, if a film's 3 hours in the cinema, you go, well, it's long, but you know, I wonder how it's going to end. Yeah. But this was just like the same thing over and over again. Some guy going up, thanks a lot, cheers for the bit of brass. And then going down, sitting down, the same thing over and over again. Mm. I'd say it was one of the worst things I've ever had to do.
I
enjoyed the night afterwards when we did have a bit of lamb and a nice bit of veg and that. That was all right. And I went home and I was happy. And I got the little freebie bag that you're talking about that we're giving away.
Yeah.
Which wasn't much good stuff in it.
Oh,
all right.
Christ.
No,
what would you have done on that Saturday night?
Suzanne.
What would you have done if, or the Sunday night rather, what would you have done had you been at home?
I would have stayed in with Suzanne, right? Watching telly, having a nice bit of pate on toast or something, cup of tea, watching 24. But instead, I had to buy an expensive suit so I didn't show you up, right?
How much did you spend on your suit?
Well, in total, right, because, you know, the shoes and the suit and the shirt and the tie, it was about 600 quid.
That's the most expensive evening ever.
And that's what I'm saying to you. And the daft thing is, it's dark in there. I don't know why you've got to wear a nice suit.
You can't wear a tracksuit, for goodness sake.
It's dark in there.
Just the shirt and that. It doesn't make you a better person wearing a suit.
No, doesn't make you a better person.
We're not claiming it made you a better person.
No, well, that annoyed me.
Yeah.
I mean, it was an experience, isn't it? That's why I went, because you think, if I didn't go, if I would have said to you when you invited me, no, Steve, I don't want to go, then I would have never known, right? Yeah. That's my sort of thing in life, right? Yeah. If something comes up, you should take it, even if you're not going to like it, it's a bit of an experience.
Right.
Do you know what he said to me? I phoned him up because we had to meet up, and obviously he had to pose as my gay lover.
Yeah.
To get in, right?
Yeah.
He said, well, you said something to me like, I bought a suit, I'm looking good. He said, I'm looking good. People will think, how on earth did he end up with that good-looking guy?
So he got into the role.
That was what he said to me.
Such an
insight.
Fair record.
I just must say that we've had an email from Daryl Foss. Lots of people have emailed in and said, well done on the BAFTAs and well done on your Room 101. They really liked that.
Thank you.
There's one guy, and Daryl says, Ricky, has your dad only got one D-Mob suit? Because I don't even know, but Ricky wears the same suit every single time he appears on TV because he spent a fortune on it getting it tailor-made.
I've only got one.
It's a good suit, and he wears it all the time.
And it's winter as well. It's like a pure wool, so I'm sweating everywhere I go. Anyway, usually it's too much cheese.
I won't be buying another.
Huh?
I won't be buying another one.
Ever.
That's it.
Yeah.
Suzanne told me today, right, because I've handed it in today to have the trousers turned up a bit.
Why?
Because it was a bit of a bodge job for the night.
Yeah.
Right.
It was just some pins sort of holding it up the other night, but you didn't notice, and I didn't tell you because I thought you'd be getting on the stage and saying, look at that freak over there with his pants hemmed up. But I took it to the place to get it done. Suzanne tells me that I'm going to start shrinking now. I'm getting to that age where you start going small.
I know that must have been a revelation to you and a worry. Like, how small do you get? How small do you get?
Oh, Dave, what were we playing then?
I thought we'd have a bit of Marley music.
Marley music?
Oh, okay, go on. If These Old Walls Could Speak by Jimmy Webb. Might play another track off that later if we've got time.
What, today?
Yeah, well, maybe, or maybe next week. We've got lots to pack in. We've got things like New Order, Cure. Oh,
I'm just hoping that all those kind of new metal fans, Rick, can just calm down for a second, you know?
Yeah.
And just enjoy that for what it was.
Yeah.
Well, they're not, I hope their snobbery is not going to prevent them from enjoying it.
I hope they can just leave it alone for 2 hours for our show.
Exactly.
We try and, you know, we try and pack lots of stuff.
Well, whilst you're talking about new metal, can I just say Ian Canfield is here tonight. He's moving from Fridays.
Right. What the hell does he think he's doing?
He's just offering up information, though.
No, it's just that you were talking about the new metalers, and now seems like a good time to
Carl, listen, you're here for our amusement.
Yeah.
You don't sort of come in any time you want.
When we decide it's time to sort of have some fun at your expense, then we'll let you know, but yeah. Otherwise...
This is, we're not here to help other DJs or even this station. We don't give a about this...
See, this is what my girlfriend said.
What's that?
Well, you should listen to her.
She knows what she's talking about, clearly. Now, put your microphone down.
She said they just wheel you out when they need you.
Switch your microphone off, Carl, and let us finish what we were saying.
Right, just...
What were you saying, Rick?
Ian Canfield has got a rock show.
Oh, right, yeah.
Starting today. It's 4 hours of pure rock. Yeah, he's probably here smoking, drinking Jack Daniels and just, like, having pictures of Vance put up around him to get in the mood. Then he'd go out and rock. Carl, don't be silly. Turn your microphone on. We're joking. Is that right? When's he on?
8 till 12 tonight. 4 hours of rock.
Lovely. Listen, some big classics coming up, plus huge news about Carl.
No, please, let's play some more ads.
Do we want some ads?
I'm tired of the music and chat. Please play some more ads, Carl. Please.
Oh, Carl.
You are going to be a turntablist.
Yeah.
Steve never learnt an instrument, which he regrets, you know, and, you know, he's a modern lad, and he's using turntables as his instrument.
I just got two turntables and a microphone, and so far, I mean, seriously, I'm cutting up big style. No, don't laugh, because it is mental, the kind of stuff I'm coming out with. And I'm scratching, I've got the beats, you know, matching.
Can you imagine that?
Shut up, it's that...
No, if...
Look at the Chemical Brothers, for goodness sake. If you're talking about freaks, look at those weirdos. Man alive.
At least you cut your hair at Gavin.
You know that the
whatever
recent,
it's called.
They used to kind of at least faintly appear in their videos. The recent one is just some shots of, like, what you see from outside a train.
To them, that is
more glamorous and exciting, apparently, than seeing the lads themselves in the video.
Who do you think's cooler to look at, Steve or the Chemical Brothers?
Steve.
Definitely, yes. You're absolutely right, Carl, and that's the first sensible thing you've said for a long time.
If I was to work with Steve on some music, if I had the choice, I think Steve would look better on an album cover.
Really?
Yeah.
What would you do? Would you change him at all? What would you do with his image?
I'd put him in the distance. So
I can't believe this is... This
no,
is
just happening. So you don't look as tall, that's doing you a favour.
You know, I was on the... This is true. I was on the on the tube, right, coming in to meet Gervais the other day, and I was wearing a suit, and my mobile phone slipped out of my pocket, and it landed on the seat, and I didn't realise this. And as I was about to get off, some bloke who was sat there, like an old guy, he picked up the phone, he went, "Oi, Lanky, you dropped your mobile phone." And I was like, well, I thank you for pointing out I dropped my phone, but did you have to do the Lanky?
But you knew who he meant. I bet you turned round straight away. It worked.
He knew he meant, Steve.
Yeah, but
he's done you again.
But I was the only person stood up. It was a fairly empty train.
Was there any other Lanky people there?
No.
Well then...
No, but my point was there was no one else at all who was about to exit the train.
Okay, so he didn't need Lanky.
He could have got excuse me, sir, or oi you, anything, but oi Lanky...
I know.
It's that thing, though, isn't it? That's what I'm talking about. You say the thing that you don't want to say. It's like me with Ken Dodd and Will.
I think he wanted to say this.
Oh, well.
I think he took pleasure in it.
I think he went, that bloke's Lanky. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, I should.
Oi, Lanky.
What's he going to do?
Phone. Yeah. Do you want your phone back or not?
Electric Soft Parade. Same way every day on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais.
With him, Steve Merchant.
Sure.
Rick, I only had one thing I had to do all week.
Okay.
What was that? I was so excited about getting up Friday morning, phoning, getting Bruce Springsteen tickets.
Oh, yeah.
The Boss is playing in October. And basically got up too late.
Well, not sold out already. You just
sold out. It had sold out, but I've started calling about 12:30. It sold out.
I trawled the net. I trawled all the phone lines.
Yeah, some of those buys are bulk buys for selling on, aren't they? They're not all
this
individuals.
This is the problem. I mean, I don't know how many people they can fit in Wembley Arena, but sold out by 12:30, and that's popular.
Wembley Arena?
Yeah.
It's about 12,000, isn't it?
I was so gutted. It was all I had to do. I was so looking forward to it. I phoned up one of those like quite dodgy ticket agencies. Do you know how much he was offering? You know, they're like, they're 45 quid to buy. Mm. He said, the starting price is 225 quid. I mean, that to me is like a ticket tout, like a legal ticket tout.
Are they allowed to do that?
I don't know. It's crazy. I was so
angry.
They could
make, is that, they'd have to say their booking fee was £150.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like desperate. I don't know what to do. I'm just wondering if I can abuse our position on the radio and just try and scrounge them from anyone who's listening. No, I mean, anyone who's listening who's got the power to get them, you know, or-
This is begging, isn't it?
It's exactly what it is, Rick. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to try and dress it up. Yeah. But it's just begging.
That
just,
ticket touts after you as well. For exactly. Dissing him.
Ricky.Gervais.
Don't bring me into it.
Shut up. Ricky.Gervais at xfm.co.uk. If there's anything you can do to get me a ticket, I'm willing to pay for it. Up to the price of 45 quid.
You know. Yeah, wow. No, second hand. Yeah, second 30. Hand. Yeah. You don't want to throw your money around,
I'll give 25 quid, come on. Don't you know who I am?
Yeah.
But that, I mean, do you know what I mean? Because I'm just, like, I asked Carl if he could sort it out. He's done nothing. He's achieved nothing.
I know.
So I'm just desperate. I'm in a desperate situation and I don't quite know what to do.
I'll tell you this, though, Carl. Don't bother doing favours for him because he's not grateful. You give him something and he goes, right, does this mean I have to give you something back? And I go, well, no. He goes, good.
Well, I got your Cure tickets and you did nothing
but
whinge about
rubbish,
it.
That gig.
There you go.
It
then.
Was rubbish. I went along to that gig. It was a balmy summer's night. The Cure, as far as I'm concerned, owe me a balmy summer's night because I wasted it. Hour and a half they played for. They played four hits. I don't want to hear their dirge from like some dodgy album and from like 1984. I'm not interested. Play the hits. Boys Don't Cry. Love Cats. Blah 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 blah. Instead, I got nothing. I was so angry. I was just. Oh man. I was
You were
so
probably angry at Carl, weren't you?
I was angry at Carl for wasting my time getting me the tickets for
Do
free.
You know what I mean,
if I
Carl?
Paid for it.
Are you getting to see
living.
What sort of a bloke Steve Merchant is?
Doves, caught by the river on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, Steve Merchant.
Hello.
Carl Pilkington and everything. No, I'm going to be honest with you.
Go on.
A little bit hungover, didn't feel very well.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm hungover or still a bit drunk. But I don't feel.
You sound like you're still a bit drunk.
Yeah, so what
but
I'm worried
you
about.
You do every week, so.
But what I'm worried about is that the standard will slip.
Sure.
If I'm not right on the ball. And the other thing is, I haven't had a lot of time to prepare the show today. So I don't feel, you know.
100%.
Yeah. I haven't done the Carl.
Right.
Look.
Have you finished that sentence?
I don't make me laugh because it hurts as well. And sure. There's another side effect to me being a little bit hungover or drunk or whatever, is that I can be annoying.
Right, yes, yes.
Because I just to amuse myself, I sort of like turn my body off a little bit and just poke and like that and annoy people and that. I want to sort of like.
Well,
climb.
You do the physical equivalent of freewheeling.
I sort of want to climb on Carl and go to sleep on him.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
They'll both annoy him and it'll be comfortable.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is. You know, can be annoying.
Just a little thing just to make this show a bit easier. If you'd put your hand up when you want one of us to speak, because it's not quite, I'm not quite sure when the sentences are finished.
The hands are up.
Okay, good. So,
the hands are up.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. All right.
Okay.
Are you going to just keep them up the rest of the show or?
No. Yeah. Like, Carl, do what you, huh?
Good. All right. Do you want to, I mean, is there an excuse as to why you're a bit hungover?
Too much
crying?
Wine.
Okay.
All right. Last night, yeah.
Yeah. Good. Thanks
okay.
for that. Because this is the only work you've got to do all week, isn't it? Unless I'm very much mistaken. You don't have to do anything. You just sit at home eating cheese.
Yeah.
Then occasionally you do a bit of sort of shadow boxing. And that's exercise. And then you sit out, is it and watch TV?
Yeah.
Is that roughly what you did this week?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So this is the only 2 hours you had to do anything for all week. This is the only you had to prepare for
this. Yeah, but who can plan a hangover?
Right.
You know, you'd think, Carl, you said you had some stuff.
Yeah.
What have you got?
I love
the fact that, whereas I was a little bit slow, Carl there leapt into action to keep this show afloat, keep the pace up. Go on.
Right, well,
Carl, are you hungover as well, or?
I'm just a bit annoyed because I'm with you. Do you know
sure.
what I mean?
Yeah.
He hasn't got much to do all week.
You're having a laugh.
What?
What angers me is I kind of hope that maybe I could have quite a long career in radio, and I sort of feel like I'm, yeah. I don't know, the word sinking ship.
Yeah.
Those words spring to mind.
But.
Because it feels like, I mean, Carl, you're just a chancer anyway. You weren't even supposed to be on air, and we've made you into something of a household name, and that's cool.
Household name.
And Ricky's already a celebrity. He's got it stitched up. He's got corporates. He's got, yeah. you know, voiceover work. But I've got nothing. I'm running on empty. I'm not, nothing. I've got nothing here. I'm sort of dependent a bit on this.
Yeah.
Financially. And,
go on then. What
and you
saying?
Two are sort of bringing it down, really.
Right.
Do you reckon I can get my own show, Carl?
Carl. Yeah. Carl. Tell him what I did out there with a bit. No, Carl. Tell him how funny I was out there with a bit in that a minute ago.
So anyway, come on,
I'm bored of this.
I'll tell you what. will we tease them with what we've got coming up next?
Yeah, Carl, tease us after the next record.
I think we've already got them for 2 hours.
Yeah, we've hooked them, Carl. Don't worry, this is textbook radio.
What's this? Badly Done Boy.
Yeah.
Rick, can I just... Sorry, I don't mean to abuse our position again, but... Bruce Springsteen's performing in London tomorrow night,
yeah.
and you remember I made an appeal to try and get a free ticket.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even mind paying. I tried to pay, but
that's good of you.
No, I'm a generous kind of guy.
And I thought you were mean. No, go on. What are you going to say?
But
you were
all I'm
pay
saying
the
is,
ticket.
You know,
face value. I mean, you don't want to be ripped off, do you?
No, don't be crazy. You know, ideally half price.
Yeah.
And I just, I've been chasing kind of my tail, really. I'm not going at the moment. I'm not going, and I'm desperate to see him, man. I mean, he's going to do a great concert. It's his only one in London. I can't believe that being on the radio, being on XFM, you know, the listenership's going up. Apparently, I can't believe I can't get a ticket. I've asked Carl. He's done nothing. He's done nothing.
Hang on a minute.
No, Carl, had a very good point.
Nothing.
Carl, tell me what you said when he was whinging.
First of all, whilst you're moaning, you also asked in the week for a Badly Drawn Boy album.
Yeah.
You got in today.
Yeah.
There's one there for you.
Well, yeah, but it's yin and yang.
And it's
Carl.
Like, yeah, but I don't, you know.
Carl, what's Steve ever done for you? That's what you got to ask yourself. What has Steve ever done for you?
Well, he took me to the BAFTAs. Yeah, but only because no one else would probably want to go with you.
I can't believe that.
What is
I
this?
I do not believe that. Oh, Steve, I'm going to stitch you up now, Carl. And it's in a nice way. And don't worry, it won't be too bad. He won't take it too bad. Carl sent me a little text message today.
Right.
No.
Oh,
don't.
What is this?
Okay.
Nice. You know, I'm in a very frail mood at the moment.
No, you're lying. This,
Bruce.
This is funny because me and him have been like sending trivia back and forth to each other, which is another point, right? I sent him. Oh well, I'll get to that in a minute. I thought he'd really be amazed with
While you're fiddling, if you can make my dream come true to go and see Bruce Springsteen tomorrow, then give us a call on the usual number.
Yeah, but like I said, Steve.
What?
Right? It wouldn't be right. You just said when the song was on, can't believe it, right? We work at XFM and I can't get tickets for Springsteen, right?
Yeah.
Mm. We work in radio, we should get tickets. Mm. Right now, think
Which
of
I'm
the
willing
amount,
to pay for.
Yeah. But think of the, yeah, but if he's sold out, he's sold out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but that's just something they say.
Right, that's just what they say, is it? Right. So everybody on local radio stations say, do you know, I like that Bruce Springsteen, I want a free ticket, right? So another say,
I phoned for an hour and a half, I couldn't get through.
Not long enough.
I've put the hours in.
Not long enough.
What are you talking about? I put the hours in.
No.
Right. So another 400 people turn up at the gig. They cram them all in. There's people being crushed. You know, they've paid the money early. They were up early that day when the phone lines were open, whilst you were probably sleeping and that. So they're dedicated and they're the ones at the front getting crushed.
What?
Would your mum and dad be happy if you were there getting crushed?
I don't mind. I'll sit at the side of the stage and watch him.
Yeah, but
I don't mind.
But everyone will say that then. And then
what?
Before you know it,
yeah.
No one can see anything because
no,
you're
Carl's
all on
right
stage.
On this one.
Leave it.
I'm going to give you this. I'm handing over my mobile phone to Steve to read the. You can see it's from Carl at the top, but just read it out as you scroll down. Just read it out loud.
Is this a text message from.
Yeah, this is a text message to me from Carl. Read it out.
To see at night as well as an owl, you would need eyes the size of grapefruits. If only Stephen could turn his head right round as well. Carl, I can't believe it. What upsets me most, Carl, right, is not the fact that you've been slagging me off behind my back. It's the fact that you've got the cheek to come on here and moralise because you failed to get me tickets and make a dream come true. You've come on here trying to pass the buck and say that it's a health and safety problem, when in actual fact, it's a Carl Pilkington problem.
Do that. I've got it in a bin.
I'm devastated. You know,
I didn't let's play a record.
I'm upset.
I should have eaten this banana. Off-air.
What's the number?
It's 08700-800-1234. But if it's sold out, Steve, it's sold out.
A bit of a classic, eh? R.E.M.
I bet if Ricky wanted to go, it'd be fine. I'm sure someone could sort it out then.
Who?
Oh, if Ricky Gervais wants to go, then you can
going.
Come. Are you?
No.
You want some tickets, so.
Yeah.
Oh. I had a bit of good news this morning.
Go on.
I was on the tube coming down, and I don't want to sound arrogant, I don't want to sound pushy, but I was at Green Park, and I'm fairly certain, Rick, it's not 100% corroborated, I'm fairly certain that a woman pinched my arse. So what do you think of that?
Yes. There's a lot of pickpockets around Green Park.
No. My wallet was still there.
Really?
But even if it wasn't, you know, that would have been money well spent. But the wallet was still there, so what do you think of them apples? Eh?
So what did you just pinch off?
I can't confirm it at this stage, exactly what happened, but it certainly felt like a pinch. I looked around, there was a woman behind me.
Right.
She was fairly old. She's probably in her mid-30s.
Right.
Kind of reddish hair.
Right.
I don't know if she's listening.
Right.
But she knows where I am. And so I don't know how to proceed, really, Rick. I don't know if it's worth putting up some posters around the Green Park area.
Well, what you could
just
do,
to try and corroborate it. If you saw a woman pinch the lanky guy's arse,
you could probably get in contact with British Rail and go back over their
CCTV cameras, yeah.
And then they could probably zoom in and, you know, sort of identify and got birthmarks or exactly. She might have been holding some.
Then I could hire a private eye. Again, money well spent.
Well, so there you go.
You know, I'm just saying maybe maybe things are looking up.
Things
it's getting
are,
towards Christmas.
The worm has turned.
Hey? I mean, you know, it's a little sexy story to get the show going.
It is
but
pretty
what do you make of that then, Carl?
Because
I know you're quite damning. What's your answer?
Well, I mean, you're quite a tall fella.
Sure.
So, she must have really wanted to sort of reach up and have a pinch.
Mm.
She
did it with her teeth.
He didn't say she was a dwarf.
No, but Steve's taller than, you know, his arse.
Yeah, but his arse isn't 6'9", is it? His arse is about 3 foot off the floor.
4 foot.
What?
4 foot off the floor.
No, I don't think so. About 3. She'd have to be a midget to have to reach up to pinch Steve's arse. He is very tall, but
I don't know what your point is there, Carl. Maybe you're just a little bit jealous. Just a little bit of jealousy. How many cats do you say you've got through?
I'd say whilst I was living at home. I mean, it's still on the increase, even though I'm not there. So whilst I was there, probably 5.
God.
Yeah. And were you upset each time, or you just got used to it?
It's one of them things, isn't it? Like I've said before, when you first see something, it's a bit of a shock. Do you know what I mean? It's like the Elephant Man or whatever.
Yeah.
First time you see him, it's that sort of, oh, look at that.
Yeah. Do you remember the first time you saw Steve? No, I'm not being funny. Do you remember the first...
Yeah, but I've said this before. It's always, then you get used to how people look, and you don't... No.
I'm gonna burst. You have to play a record.
No, what?
Because I see Steve's
face. No, but I've got used to it.
Carl, you know our mate Johnny, he's a Doctor Who fan.
Yeah.
Do you remember, he bought, the Doctor Who magazine, he went, to the toilet, and Steve got post-it notes and put geek on every page. And Johnny opened it on the tube, right, and it had geek and everything. And Johnny bought in the new Doctor Who magazine, I think this week or this month, right? And they've done the perfect Doctor Who fan, right, what the geek is, right? And it looks exactly like Steve.
All right, don't have a go, Rick.
It does. I'm going to try and put it on the website. It's amazing. It's got your hair, glasses, it stands like you, it's sort of dressed like you, and it's only, it's hilarious. And I'm insulting you now. It sounds like an insult. But if you'd see it, you'd laugh.
Well, Rockbusters, right?
Yeah.
Right, here we go.
Just a little bit annoyed.
Just, 3 clues.
We've lost all the energy in this show, haven't we?
Well, I can't get over that insult. I'm just a little...
No, we did, though.
It just came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting an insult.
No,
and, but I think there's a sense of camaraderie on this.
Email in, ricky.gervais@xfm.co.uk.
I'm just annoyed. I can't
what are we doing? I'm just reading out the clues.
Let's put this one in for the Sony Award. Let's put this show in for the Sony Award.
Play a song, Carl, because I need to discuss things with him. I've talked before about him
snagging it down. Get this down to 3 minutes. It'd be a great show.
Rockbusters in a minute. XFM.
Lonesome Day. By Bruce Springsteen from his new album The Rising on XFM 104.9, Ricky Gervais, Steve Merchant, Carl Pilkington. Former just phoned in and said to Carl, stick up for yourself. Don't listen to that Merchant. He does my head in. He's so arrogant.
I don't think I'm arrogant. I think I'm mean.
Yeah.
I just think I'm sort of objectionable. I don't think it's arrogance. I think it's sort of nastiness.
Yeah.
I'm just not a very nice person. But believe me, I'm not arrogant. I think I'm pathetic.
What were you talking about earlier about glasses as well and Steve taking his glasses off? What was that?
What are you saying that in front of him now for?
Was it an insult?
It wasn't really an insult.
Carl, what were you up to?
No, what was it? I genuinely don't remember. I genuinely don't remember.
Steve, I'm not having a go, right? Just saying how people, it's a bit weird that you've got glasses because you've got a good pair of eyes on you, right? that isn't an insult.
What were you talking about though? What was it? Why did
it was the fact that people who wear glasses always look a bit weird without them on. It's like, you know, they should wear glasses.
Okay. Why did we get round to this? What was we talking about?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what that was.
It sounds like an insult, even if it wasn't intended as one.
It wasn't.
It sounds like an insult, Carl.
It does, yeah.
No, it wasn't.
I should be allowed to punch you every time you insult me, no?
No, but I'm not.
Well, I'm doing
go.
It. I'm going to give you a dead arm.
Look, Steve, it's you. Like you're
even
just...
if it wasn't, you intended it to be one.
Well, what are you...
Oh, that was real. Play a record.
Yeah. But
it's mad.
Every time you insult me from
that's mad. Is this the Cardigans? Great. Brilliant.
I didn't even say anything.
It makes me feel better. I can enjoy the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Before we carry on with anything, I should just tell you, we're on the subject of emails. There's one emailer we're always looking forward to hearing from.
Dickers!
Richie Anderson!
Dickie Docky Doo!
Richard Anderson, thanks for emailing.
He's my biggest fan.
He's
now.
One of the biggest
he
fans.
He absolutely loves me.
But not afraid to offer some constructive criticism.
Go on,
that's the great thing about Dickie. And from Anders this week, he says, Ricky, I'm lazy, I talk nonsense, I'm badly organised, and I believe in ghosts. Can I have a job working on your show? possibly, Anders. Maybe send in a CV or email a CV.
He's put a little bit of all of us in that, hasn't he? Oh, I'll ask him if he's a goggle-eyed freak, Steve.
All right, go on, Dave.
Well, no, I didn't mean...
No need to get insulted.
No, I didn't necessarily mean
nasty.
You,
no
did I?
No need to get nasty.
Well...
Also, I was thinking about that, actually, Steve.
Oh, God.
I was talking of the old,
What?
What?
Talking of the what?
No. Do you know, like...
This better be good.
No, you don't have that many girlfriends and
what do you mean?
Carl, why are we on this... I was defending you in the whole monkey discussion. Come on,
What's the point?
I just was thinking...
if there was an infinite number of Steves?
You're an odd-looking fella.
Come on, Carl, get to the...
No, you know I know that. I've told you that loads of times.
What do you mean, you know I know that?
Well, there's no point pretending anymore.
Steve, I'm flabbergasted.
But also, you don't like spending money.
Huh? He's mean and weird looking.
Valentine's Day. Are you sort of?
You've got to love him now, haven't you?
What are you happier with? The fact that no girls like you enough, right?
This is really mental.
Or are you happy because you don't have to spend any money on a card for someone?
Which... A little from column A, a little from column B.
Right, let's have more monkey news. What have we got?
No,
we've got so much to get into this show. Insults.
We don't need the insults. I think we've got enough. We don't need the insults.
Yeah, there's no more insults.
What angers me with Carl is you know he's been planning that.
No, I haven't. I was thinking about it on the way in because Valentine's Day is coming up and I'm not a big fan of it.
Right? Condoms?
You bought your girlfriend a box of condoms for Christmas. I don't think you can have a go at me. To be fair.
No, but I don't just treat her on Valentine's. I'm always... Do you know what I mean?
You don't even treat her on Valentine's. You don't even treat her at Christmas or on her birthday. When do you treat her?
Hang on a minute. Wait a cotton picking minute there. Why I order. Wait a minute. What was that? Tiffany dog.
I treat your girlfriend better than you, and I've only met her twice.
I took her out last night, and she enjoyed herself.
Where'd you go?
Until she had to write the check.
Where'd you go?
To a chippy. A really...
Play a record!
To a chippy?
No, a really quality one.
Right.
Oh, God!
Under a fiver for two...
Oh, nice wrapping. Not newspaper, greaseproof paper.
And bread.
That's Feeder, just the way I'm feeling. On XFM
104.9, Ricky Gervais, Steve Merchant, Claire Sturgis. Well, he's defying me. He's not calling in. We're going to give out his number and he's not calling in. That's even more annoying. What? Who does he think he is?
I don't know who he thinks he is. I'll tell you what I'll tell you who he is.
Yeah.
He is a little bold Mancunian.
Let's never let him forget that.
I don't know who he thinks he is, but there's the fact.
Just, Carl, call in because you're annoying me and Steve. He's been slagging you off as well, Steve.
Well, go on. What's
in the week, you know, he was slagging you off. I mean, in the week, I was joining in and laughing along. But now I'm thinking I'm thinking that you're more on my side than he is.
Thanks very much, Rick. I'm glad to see you've come round.
He said he was. I was in the pub with him and Johnny.
Oh, right, so there's a little audience. Good.
And he said, he went, have you seen Men in Black 2? I went, no. He said, have you, Johnny? He went, no. He went, oh, there's a thing in it that looks just like Steve.
Mm.
And I went, what? He went, it's a thing, he's got really gangly arms and bulbous eyes, and it just works really fast in the aliens registration thing. And I went, all right. I said, we'll bring that up Saturday. Since he's not here, you know, what do you think of that?
Well, the reason is that I think the problem I have with is this, that if I was to say things like that about Carl, I'd destroy him. He'd be a broken man after I'd finish with him.
Call in, Carl, or Steve's going to say a few things about you.
I'm going to get a couple of home truths out there.
I can't believe it. I cannot believe it. Yeah, we were, at the time I was joining it, we were having, you know, slagging you off on other things as well.
Sure.
But now I'm thinking maybe
you were wrong.
Maybe I was taking the mickey out of the wrong person behind their back.
If you receive any phone calls from people you don't know, we don't know anything about that. Instantly, we don't know why that is happening. That is just going to be a weird, spooky thing. So,
and don't bother telling the story about Men in Black 2 either, because I don't think people will be interested.
Actually, on the subject of Men in Black 2...
What?
Have you seen that, Steve?
No, I haven't, Carl. Tell me about it.
You should see it.
Go on. Why?
Because there's this thing in it.
Go on. What, a stupid, bald Mancunian tosser?
No, weirder than that.
There isn't anything weirder than that.
Hey guys, it was gangly.
Keep talking.
You've got to see it because you wouldn't believe how the likeness and that you've got to show about tonight.
Right.
It's not as weird. It had a normal voice, right?
He's done you and he's not even here!
I'll tell you what, mate, it ain't worth coming in next week.
Oh, stay on the line, Carl. Play a record, Claire. Kings of Leon, Molly's Chambers. What do you think of that, Carl?
All right.
There's a surprise.
Oh,
another insightful remark.
Steve is not a fan now. Not only does he know you've been slagging him off behind his back.
No, I wasn't slagging Steve. If you get it out on the DVD tonight, you'll know I'm not slagging you off. It could be your brother.
I know the fact that it makes it worse, but he's thinking you're going to go, oh, he wasn't slagging me off. It does look like me. I do think I'm an alien. I love the fact that you hope Steve will go, he's got a point. It's a spitting image. Yeah.
I am, seriously, Carl, I'm really angry. I'm so angry with you at the moment.
You haven't seen it yet?
No, I know, because I know what it's going to be, and I'm just,
why?
I'll tell you why I'm angry, because he doesn't do it in jest.
No, but what do you think it's going to look like? What do you think this thing's going to look like?
It's going to look ludicrous. It's not going to look anything like me, but he's going to pretend it does. Go on, what? Go on.
No, it does look like you.
Yeah, of course it does. And you looked like the Hugh Manzee.
Well,
I mean, to be honest, you did a bit, Carl. You walked like him. You're bald like him. You got a sort of gormless face like him. Any more?
I don't smoke. That does. I'm not arguing with you. I'm not well on that.
Oh, you're not well.
What exactly is wrong with you? You whinger.
Well, it's just, do you know, like I always tell you about the restless leg syndrome I've got. It's like that, all over.
So you're just shaking around the house?
I'm just, yeah.
What do you look like? Elvis? What are you doing? You're shaking around the house.
I'll tell you, with your bald hair, you're probably like an enormous vibrator.
Oh, God.
That's what you probably look like if you strip naked.
Oh, you'll have a Scottish widow coming round. Oh, dear.
That's, what's her name, by the way? I heard you talking about that. That's,
Amanda Lamb.
Amanda Lamb, who's in the Place in the Sun programme.
Is she actually a widow? Is she a Scottish widow?
Just,
Hoots, man, my husband's dead.
Do you want any money and a bit of my clam?
Brilliant.
All right.
That's the sort of quality you've missed out on today. Well, anyway, you're going to be back next week. We need you back next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you know? Also, how did you know you were going to be ill today? Because you phoned and arranged this yesterday.
Convenient.
And I spoke to you yesterday and you didn't sound very ill.
I felt ropey yesterday.
You've got a bit of a bunged up nose.
Even though
I have a bit of a bunged up nose.
I still sorted it out.
Yeah? I'm a little bit sweaty.
Paul, sorting out does not mean you phone up Sturgis and send her down.
That's not sorting it out. That's making things worse. Have you learnt nothing?
Thanks, Claire.
If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
Mate. Yeah. My leg's a little bit achy.
Oh, I'm wearing wet jeans.
Oh, I put wet jeans on again. My lasagna was frozen.
Can you hear the venom and hatred in our voices today? We genuinely are upset and angry with you.
Yeah. Can't believe it. I cannot believe that you'd... I mean, oh...
Right, well, the thing is, we'll be back to normal next week, right? We've got Billy Elliot doing the film next week.
Right.
Any prizes?
Got some good stuff.
Have you got any films with Burt Reynolds in to give away on VHS?
I'll see you then.
Great, we're looking forward to it already.
I'll see you later.
Hot heat, bandages, XFM, we're off, innit?
That's it, it's all over.
Yeah.
Back next week.
Yeah.
Thanks, Claire.
Bye.
Total respect.
Yeah, yes. Nice one.
Keep it real.
See ya.
Carl, I need the phone number of your girlfriend. Let me explain why. I was lucky enough, once again, to be on your quiz team this week. Ricky,
still to beat me. He's still to beat me with his team, yeah. Second I came.
The gang here and some friends, we sometimes go down to a pub quiz in the local area, and I was very nicely, I was invited by Carl to be on his team. Twice now I've been on that team. Ricky's always on another team. And what can I say, Carl? Do you mind me saying this now? Because I've analysed the team, and very much your team, and you've put the team together. You've recruited some excellent personnel. Your girlfriend's very, very good on the team, as is one of her work colleagues, and you normally bring in, you know, someone like myself. I like to think I'm providing certain something with the entertainment section. I seem to remember last time I answered at least 6 or 7 questions that other people hadn't got, so I felt I provided something there. Carl, I rather like John Harvey Jones, who used to be called in to sort of troubleshoot companies. I see why you are not winning, ever, and it's a rather pricey contest, isn't it? It costs $10 to enter per person. Yeah. And unless you get in the top three, you're not going to get to see your money back. Right. So, I think you're going to maybe need to step down from the team because, Carl, I'm not sure. I am not sure. Oh. You consider yourself a kind of player manager, but frankly, I'm not sure you're providing enough.
Right.
See, this is funny because as bad as I imagine you are, I don't think Steve would make it into my team, so he's getting a bit cockier. I want to know what your opinion of him because he's told me he's great on it.
You bang out of order, first of all.
Right? Okay.
Do you have a good night when you're with us?
I tell you what, I wish I hadn't lost a tenner every time I've come down. That would have improved it.
You point out there about the football analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Ferguson, when did he score a goal?
Right.
He doesn't. He tells the others how to do it.
Mm.
Yeah. Right? That's
he doesn't take up
there.
One of the 11, though, does he?
No, exactly.
It's not like you can only field 10.
Yeah.
Because we only got 10 again. I want to be in the 11.
Exactly. You stop running around in midfield, falling over.
Yeah, shouting, oh, what have I told you?
Yeah.
No.
Right. I'll admit,
and there's a limit of 5 players. We should explain that. That's the point.
Yeah, there's only 5 players on the
players,
team.
It was pretty tricky on Tuesday, though, wasn't it? It was one of the tougher...
Tell everyone the one question you got right.
Something about,
well, tell us the answer. The 2 words you had to say to get the answer.
Danny Minogue.
Danny Minogue. That was what you provided, Danny Minogue.
Is this valuable?
Well, no, not really, because there was at least 2 of us who also knew the answer.
Oh, well,
we gave it to Carl. We'd massage his ego.
Oh,
but,
dear.
I just feel Carl.
Do you know what? I feel a bit bad now because I just sort of had a crushed face then.
Can I just tell you right now? I think the problem is this. I think there's that precious 5th position that is not being filled. at the moment, I think, consistently enough by a decent player, right? You've got a solid team. I'm thinking if you want to remain on the team, you are going to have to pull your finger out and find a fifth member that is going to provide, and I'll tell you where the weaknesses are. I can tell you right now, mate. The weaknesses are natural history and science. Oh. Something which Ricky Gervais is scoring on week in, week out on his team.
There's a few.
Now, if he was available for a transfer, we could be fine. But we've got to find someone to fill in that space. Otherwise, I'm either going to quit or you're going to have to step down. Because I don't think I can be on a team where there is these obvious deficiencies. There are visible deficiencies in the team.
And, you know, the £10.
That's £10. I'm not made of money. That's once a month.
I've seen him depressed for 2 hours when he lost £20 at a casino.
Don't bring
it
back. Don't bring that back. Bring up that again.
That
story.
He doesn't like wasting money, Carl. You know that.
What do you think? What do you think? What's the solution? We've got to think proactively now. We've got to sort this out.
See, there's always other things going on in my mind when I'm in that pub quiz. For me, it's just a little bit of fun.
Sure.
It's a night out. Do you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Suzanne enjoys it.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a get together. We have a chat beforehand.
Yeah.
We have a bit of fun.
Yeah.
But there was other things on my mind.
Well, Carl, I could do that here. I don't have to lose a tenner.
Wait, what were you thinking during the quiz then when the questions were coming out? What were you thinking of?
Well, what it was, right, just before the quiz started, I had to go to the toilet, right? Because the rule is, right, people who don't go to it, once it starts, phone's off, no more toilet.
Leave the room,
they
yeah.
take it dead serious, don't they, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I went to the toilet. Now, I'm not being out of order here, it just got me thinking, right? I went to the toilet, the gay fella in there, right?
There was a gay fella in there?
Gay fella in the toilet.
Now, how could you tell?
How did you know?
Just typical, you know, everything about it, right?
It!
Everything about it, right, yeah.
Oh.
What, large handlebar moustache, leather cap.
Butt plugs, amyl nitrate. Could I just say that these views do not reflect the views of the management of XFM or me and Steve.
Go or on, most Carl. Of the people in this country.
Go on, Carl. What's your problem?
Yeah, but this is what I'm worried about, really. But this is why I only got Danny Minogue right. Right? Because this was floating around my mind.
Went She's to a toilet. Big gay icon,
now,
she?
Going to the toilet, they have like men's cubicle and they have women's cubicle.
Yeah.
Now, without sounding out of order, is it wrong for me to think gay men should have their own little cubicle?
Colin!
They should have their own... Well, not cubicle, you mean an actual toilet,
yeah.
I suppose.
When I was at the urinal...
Yeah.
Normally, you know, there's a fella there, and then you go, all right. And there's no pressure. But I couldn't go. I was thinking, should I wait? If I go into the toilet, it'll look obvious.
Yeah.
I had loads of pressure, and
but
this was going on.
What were you worried about?
I'm so sorry.
What were
I'm
you
so
concerned
sorry,
about?
Viewers. I'm so
well,
sorry.
Well, it's like, right, listen, when I was a kid, right... And it's all right for you to go into women's toilets when you're a kid. It's like, oh, it's a bit cute, right?
Yeah.
As long as you're not, like, over 15 or something, right?
Right.
But when I was a kid, I went into a toilet, and women, when they use their little cubicles, they don't shut the door. Some of them just sit down on the toilet,
yeah.
right? And you see everything. And, no, seriously, that's probably one of the first times I saw, like, a woman.
Yeah.
That, right? And my Auntie Nora when she was staying over.
What happened with your Auntie Nora?
She was, she's into wearing caftans.
Into wearing what?
You know, caftans.
Oh,
what,
yeah.
What are caftans?
Big, bellowy sort of dresses.
Right, right.
And, I used to sit on the floor at home in front of the telly.
Sure.
She was on the chair behind.
Yeah.
She did a bit of a, sort of a Sharon Stone scene.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Mm. There was no underwear.
No.
What age were you?
What was it like?
What age were you?
It was like a ripped tennis ball.
What?
Right, we're off air. Either that or put us in for the Sonys.